Well, it's good to be back in the Lord's house tonight. Appreciate you being here. Hope you've had a good day. It's been a good day always. The Lord's Day is always a good day. It really is, where we can come together and fellowship. And Pastor, I appreciate the message this morning, how to approach God. I'm so glad He's given us a way. And through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, simple way, but the only way. And I'm glad tonight to know that God has enabled me through the preaching of the word that I've heard in my life to know that, to realize that, and to do that. And knowing Christ is my personal Savior. And it's wonderful to be a Christian, wonderful to be saved. On my way to heaven, I'm looking forward to leaving any day. I really am, trusting God to lead me in my life and lead us together as we labor together for the cause of Christ. And again, we do appreciate each one being here tonight. Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus. Book of Exodus, chapter number 3. Preacher preached this morning on how to approach God. Tremendous message. Tonight, I want to flip the coin over, okay? I want to talk tonight on how God approaches us. How God approaches His people. God has ways of doing that. And I'm glad tonight to know that He does. He has ways of reaching us. He has ways of speaking to us. I'm glad that God hasn't just put us here on this earth as His creatures and say, do what you want to do. God has a way of approaching us and giving us the opportunities to know Him and to come to know Him as Savior and Lord of our life. We have a wonderful God that loves mankind. He loves all of us. And I'm glad tonight to know that He loves me. And the song that we sung a while ago, no one does care for me like Jesus. No one cares for you like Jesus. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's a friend at midnight. He's a friend in the trials of life, in the triumphs of life. He's always there to be by my side, to lead and guide and direct me in my life. Tonight I want to get from Exodus chapter 3, we're going to pray and ask God to help us. And look at tonight how God approaches His people. God approaches His people. We have examples of the Word of God and how He does this. And we're going to look at one tonight. I'm so glad we have this book to read it, to study it, and to apply it to our lives, that we might be what God wants us to be while we're here. Let's pray. Father, thank You for tonight. Thank You for this gathering, for each one this year now. And again, Lord, we come at this time, Lord, knowing that You know all things. Lord, You know our hearts. You know even the intents of our hearts. You know our thoughts. You know all about us. And I pray now, Lord, as we come to this time, Lord, this is a special time. Lord, a precious time. God, as we open Your Word together, and I pray, God, that the Word of God would do through the Spirit of God for each one of us what we stand in need of. God, if there be one here tonight that's lost, I pray somehow they would understand that Jesus loves them. He died for them, and He wants to forgive them if they ask Him to. And Lord, help those that are Christians tonight to be strengthened, Lord, as we look at this example in the Word of God tonight, and Lord, how You approach Your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Exodus chapter 3, beginning reading with verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. We see here in this first verse of Scripture, we're going to be talking about Moses tonight. Moses was a very meek guy. I didn't say weak. He was meek. He was a very man of God that God used graciously. We know that we could maybe divide Moses' life into three 40s. The first 40 years of his life, we know he spent as a prince in Pharaoh's court there. And then God got over his heart, I believe, and God motivated him to leave Pharaoh and have a part in suffering for the children, with the children of God. Rather to enjoy the pleasures of the world, he chose to follow God. And we find after that, he became a shepherd here in Midian, And we find he was shepherding for almost 40 years now in his life. And this is where we are tonight here as we look at Moses. We know he always forgot himself and he served people. That was the kind of man Moses was. He loved to do things for people, especially the children of Israel. He loved the children of Israel. And we find that in his life. He gave up position again in Pharaoh's house to do what God wanted him to do. He was a tremendous man, Moses was. What a leader he was also. But we find here now he's just finished his second 40 years. He's 80 years old here when he receives now a commission to bring Israel out of Egypt. Israel out of Egypt. We see in verse number 2 as we read, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him," that is Moses, "in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." Verse number 3 says, "And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned." Now we find, first of all, as we look at how God appears here to Moses, God appears to Moses. He was keeping the flock. He was a shepherd. A shepherd is not a highly job. It's a low job. It's a hard job. It's a lonely job. And we find that he was keeping the flock there in the mountain, by the mountainside in the desert. He wasn't known by many people because of his occupation. But yet we know that he was where God wanted him to be at this time. And so we find here that as God appeared to Moses, we find that oftentimes Moses saw probably more of God being a shepherd than he ever saw in Pharaoh's court because he was alone with God. You know, this helps us to realize, you know, we can be wrapped up in the world and never spend time with God. It's more precious to us, should be more valuable to us, it is, to spend time with God than it does out here doing other things. And we find here that Moses found that out in his life. When we are alone, we know that God is with us. God is with us. God help us not to get so busy in our life that we don't have time for God. Because when we don't have time with God, God never speaks to us. God never communicates with us. And we never have a close relationship with God until we spend time with God alone. I want to challenge you as a Christian tonight. Husbands, wives, children, boys and girls, teenagers, all of us, we need to spend time alone with God. It's very important. God will teach you things alone with Him that you'll never be taught in Sunday school. You'll never be taught in church. But God wants to teach us all things when we are alone with God. Next time you have problems in your life with your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, your co-workers, your students at school, friends at school, make time to spend time with God. And ask God to help you. He'll do that. He'll do that. And we find that Moses, he spent a lot of time alone. He spent a lot of time talking with God and God with him as a shepherd. And we find it benefited him later in his life. So we see now, as we look at God appearing to Moses, what the appearance was. Number one, when we look at how God appears to his people, first of all, he communicates with his people. He communicates with his people. God communicates with you. God communicates with me. Now let's notice here in this passage of scripture, in verse number two and verse number three, we see here how the angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now, I'm not calling this a bush. Okay? It's a flower of some kind. But anyway, just for tonight's sake, this is a bush. Now, as you look at a bush, it's just a bush, okay? There's nothing extraordinary about a bush. But if you tonight, now as tonight, saw a flame of fire in this bush, it would probably get your attention, wouldn't it? I think it would mine. And it got Moses' attention when the angel of the Lord appeared in the bush, a flame of fire. It got his attention. God was trying to communicate with Moses at this time. And that's the way he does it. He communicates here this way. We notice he saw a burning bush. Now, there's something about that fire and that bush that's extraordinary. First of all, that fire and that bush, it didn't come from the earth, and it didn't come from heaven. It just appeared. It just appeared. And the second thing about that fire and that bush, that fire did not consume that bush. That fire was there alive. That bush was still there alive. Now, I don't know about you, but if I would see such thing as that, I think it would get my attention. I think it would get my attention. Now, God is communicating to Moses here. He has something to share with him. He has something he wants to see here. Now, he saw the flame. Moses' curiosity got high, like anybody's was. In verse number 3, he says, "And Moses said, because of this fire in this bush, because this fire is burning, and this bush is not being consumed. Because of this," he says in verse 3, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." It's puzzling Moses. He don't understand what's going on. Why the fire is not consuming the bush and it's not going out. But we see here, he says, "I will turn aside and see." I will turn aside and see. God communicates with his children. God is communicating with Moses here. He's trying to reveal something to Moses that's very important. When something this extraordinary happens, God is trying to get an extraordinary message to an extraordinary person when it happens like this. And so we find this is what's happening here. God is communicating here with Moses here. And we see what happens. Look into verse number 4. "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside," in other words, when the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside, when he saw he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here am I." God, knowing all about Moses, know he had curiosity, know he now was concerned about what's taking place here with this bush. So God, as Moses turned aside, God saw, he did, and God called unto him by his name and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I. Here am I." Now, it's one thing to see a bush with a fire in it and it's not burning. That's shocking enough. Moses, after a little bit of curiosity and getting his nerves together, probably, he was about to get to the point that he could accept that. Okay? But when all of a sudden a voice from this fire, a bush, spoke to him and said, "Turn aside." Now, that really impressed Moses. I mean, that really got him. And when not only by just turning, when the voice spoke to him and called him by name, he called him by name, "Moses, Moses," that is, God did, from the burning bush. This really got to Moses. We find here that God knows how to get your attention. Not only did God communicate with his people, but God knows how to get our attentions, number 2. And he got Moses' attention when he spoke to him from that burning bush, from that fire, from that bush. He called him by name. He called him by name. And we find here he got his attention here. Now, he called him by name. He says, "Moses, Moses." And when he turned aside, God called him from the bush. He called him from the bush here. You know, God's calls are effective when we return an obedient answer. God's calls are effective when we return to him an obedient answer. Moses says, "Here am I. Here am I. Here am I." And we see here that God gave him a caution here in verse number 5. And he said, "Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. My, what a shock. What a thing that Moses was facing now. God gave him caution. He said, draw near, but don't get too near. For the place you stand is holy ground. Take off your shoes. In other words, I'm talking to you. You listen to me. Take off his shoes is a token of respect and submission to God. Like sometimes we, you know, in places we, you know, you don't go down and you don't go and sit at the table to eat with your hat on, do you? I hope you don't. If you do, I hope somebody takes care of you. I mean, you know, be respectful, you know, where you are, you know, and do things like that. And he was telling Moses, this is holy ground. Take off your shoes now. This is for you. I'm trying to tell you something here. And he calls him here, and he gave him that invitation to draw near. God gave him a gracious call, and he returned a gracious answer to God when he called him here. So we find that God knows how to get your attention. God communicates with his people. He did Moses here. And notice, Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Moses, again, wasn't afraid of the burning bush. But he was afraid when God spoke from the bush and called him by name. He became afraid because he knew it was God. He knew it was God. Has God ever spoken specifically to you, directly to you, and you knew it? Has he? He has to me. And I know when God speaks to me directly, he means business. He means business. And I become afraid. I become afraid because I know God is a sincere person. He wants me to do what he's asking me to do, you see. So it's very important that we realize here that God knows how to get our attention. He knows how to get my attention. He knows how to get your attention, even in the things he wants me to do. Preacher, I can remember back, and you can too, I'm sure, whenever I was wrestling many years with the call of God on my life. Certainly I didn't want to do it. But I remember one night how God specifically really touched my heart and told me that he wanted me to do something for him. I'll never forget that night. I was up on Black Mountain camping out with some more men. I'll never forget that night. I was trying to sleep. I lay down. I tried to sleep, and I couldn't sleep. God was dealing with my heart. God reminded me of all these men that were around me. How many of these guys are saved? And I only knew maybe one or two at the most were saved. The rest of them were lost. He said to me, there's a lost world out there, and somebody needs to tell them. Somebody needs to tell them. And you are to be one that does it out of many. God got my attention. God has a way of getting our attention. It may be through tragedy. It may be through a lot of things, but God knows how to get our attention in our life. And when God speaks to us, we ought to listen. God approaches his people. He approaches us through communication with us. He approaches us through getting our attention. And then we find in verse number 7 and 8, God cares about his people. I'm glad he cares about us. Verse 7 says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Notice he said three things here that God took note of in verse number 7 and verse number 9. Verse number 7, we find that God took note of their sorrows. Their sorrows. Also, we find in verse number 9, now therefore, behold the cry of the children, of thy children. God took note of the cry of the children of Israel. He was taking note. And then we find in verse number 9, he took note of their persecutions. Verse number 9 says, now therefore, behold the cry of the children of Israel, is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians opposed them, their persecutors. He took note of their persecutors. Not only did God take note of these things, but we see also in verse number 8, the promise of God to the children of Israel, the children of God. Notice the promises in verse number 8. He says, and I am come down to, first of all, to deliver them. I'm come down to deliver them, he says in verse number 8, out of the hands of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and all these people he's talking about here. He says, I'm going to bring them out. I'm going to settle them up in Canaan land. I'm going to take them to Canaan. You know, this is the promise of God to his people. God cares for his people. God knew the afflictions of the nation of Israel all these years and what they'd been through. And God now was ready to deliver his people. Listen, you may have gone through something for years in your life, but God one day is going to deliver you. He's going to deliver you from that affliction, that test, or whatever you're going through in your life. He's promised to do that. I'm so glad that God never forsakes his children. He's always with us. He always cares about him, cares about us. We also see, next we see that God calls men to lead his people. In verses 10 through 15, we find here the commission that he gives to Moses. We don't have time to go into all this tonight. But we find here that he calls Moses to lead his children. Look at verse number 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that is Moses. I'm going to send thee to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, excuse me, out of Egypt. Moses, you're the one. I've called you. That's why the burning bush. That's why the voice from the burning fire was to you. I've called you to do a job now. I want you to go to lead my people out. We find here in verse number 10 again, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Now, Moses knew something about Pharaoh, and he didn't want any part with him, to be honest with you. He didn't want anything to do with him, but we find that God wanted to send him. And we find in verse number 11, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I, God? I'm just a shepherd boy. I've been a shepherd for 40 years now. Why in the world are you calling me to go to talk to Pharaoh and deliver the children of Israel, children out of Egypt? Well, we find that he is sent as a prophet to Israel. God sends Moses as a prophet to Israel. He also is sent as an ambassador to Pharaoh to deal with him. Moses has got to go to Pharaoh and deal with him, talk to him about letting the people go, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. He also is sent as a prince to Israel, that is, to conduct them and to command them as what they're to do and how God's going to lead them out of Egypt into Canaan. So we find that Moses has a big job, but he has a big God to help him. He has a big God to help him in this task that he's doing. Now notice, he commissions Moses, and now verse number 11, he allows Moses to respond to him. In other words, God said to Moses, this is what I want you to do, Moses. And now God is allowing Moses to talk back to him and tell him what he is on his heart. In verse number 11, we notice what he says again. He says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I, God? I'm just a nobody. I'm just a nobody. Who am I? He objects. He says, I'm not sufficient. I'm not qualified to do this. I can't do this job. I can't do this job, you know. He thinks himself unworthy of the honor to do what God is trying to lay upon his heart to do. He also thinks he wants courage, that I understand, that I may bring forth them. He thinks he wants skill. How can I bring Israel out of Egypt? I need skill. I need all these things to do this. Someone said the more fit any person is for service, the less opinion he has of himself. God doesn't call you to do something that you are qualified to do. God will make you qualified to do something that he wants you to do. See, it's not you, it's not me, it's God that does what he does. But God uses people like us to do his work wherever it may be. So we find here that Moses was objective to what God wanted him to do. I can't do it. Who am I? Who am I? And so we find here him giving him instructions for this commission. Verse number 12, and he says, certainly I will be with thee. Notice what God says to Moses now. He says, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto you, unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. Man, that's faith. When God tells Moses, when you bring them out of Egypt, don't you think that's kind of giving Moses a little bit of encouragement that he can do it? He can do it because he's telling, whenever you bring them out, whenever you bring them out of Egypt here, you shall serve God upon this mountain. You shall serve God upon this mountain. Now, he had assurance from God that he could do the job. All he had to do was follow God's directions, and God would help him do that task that he's putting forth him to do now in his life. Now, notice, he asked in verse number 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Moses said, now when I go to the children of Israel, and I tell them, you sent me to deliver them out of Egypt and to Canaan, how can I tell them who has sent me? Who sent me? They're going to ask. Two names of God you will be known. First of all, we find a name that tells what he is in himself in verse number 11. I am that I am, Jehovah. I am that I am. He is self-existence. He is eternal. He is unchangeable. That's who I am. You tell them, that's who I am. I am Jehovah. He cannot, by searching, find him out. In other words, we find that this name tells what he is in himself, who God is in himself. Also, we find a name that tells what he is to his people. Look in verse number 15. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Unto all generations. A name that tells what he is to his people. The Lord God of your fathers. I'm Jehovah, the Lord God of your fathers. That's who you tell them, I am. I am. Why? That he might revive among the people the faith of their fathers. The faith of their fathers. Also, that he might raise the expectation of the promise made unto their fathers about Canaan, about the promised land that they knew about, they'd heard about in their lives, you see. So we find here, he asked by what name God would make himself known. Now look at verse number 16. We find here, God champions his people. We've talked about God communicates with his people. How God knows how to get your attention. God cares about his people. And God calls men to lead his people. And now we find last how God champions his people. He gives them victory. Look at verse number 16. The Bible says, go now and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seeing that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the afflictions of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, and the land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go and beseech thee 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. We see, first of all, here in this passage, that he had to deal with the elders, Moses did, of Israel, and he has to raise their expectations about getting out of Egypt into Canaan. He had to excite them about where he was taking them, where they were going to go. It was a better place. It's a better place than you've ever been. We wanted to go to Canaan. He wanted to get them excited about going to Canaan. We see in verse 18, God tells Moses of his success in verse number 18. They're going to hearken unto you, your voice, and they shall come thou and the elders of Israel unto the king of Egypt, and you shall say unto them, the Lord God of the Hebrews shall meet with us, and now let us go. We beseech thee, and we were sacrificing to the God, our God. Now, he told about his success. And also we find he told how he must deal with the king of Egypt. Now, Pharaoh was a very wicked man. He was very hard to deal with. And God is telling Moses here in these verses 19, 20, and 21 and 2, he's telling him how to deal with King Pharaoh. Look what he says in verse number 19. Verse 19, he says, "And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand." In other words, Pharaoh is going to be mean. And no matter what petition you bring before him, he's not going to let him go. He's not going to let him go. And if you read, you know all the story about what happened, how the many times that he was brought to Pharaoh and Pharaoh refused to let God's people go. He refused to let them go. He says, simply, the petitions that you bring will not prevail with him. He's not going to listen to your petitions that you bring about letting the people go. Now, verse number 20, he says, "And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go." He will let them go. We find here the plagues is going to be the final thing that's going to compel him to let them go, to let them go. And you know all the plagues that you read about. My, what an awful time they went through. But finally, it was God himself that allowed God's people to be let go. Moses was just an instrument. Moses was just a vessel that he used to go back to Pharaoh, and persistently begging him and asking him to let God's people go, to let God's people go. Moses was a great man. And we find in verse 21 and 22, the people shall be furnished with abundance. They were triumphant over their victory when they got into Canaan. They had abundance because of getting out of Egypt and going to Canaan. So what are we seeing tonight? We're seeing tonight how God approaches his people. He approaches us by communicating with us. He approaches us by knowing how to get our attention in our life. He approaches us by caring about us, doing something specifically for us in our lives. We know that he approaches us this way. He approaches us by calling men to lead us as a body, as a church. God gives us a man to lead us. And he approaches us by championing his people, giving us victory in our lives. You know, we may not get victory every day. We may go for a long time in life through trials and all these things. But you know, sooner or later, God's going to bring a victory in your life, no matter what you're facing. It took a long time for the children of Israel to get triumph, get victory. But God was persistent in using a man to try to reach another man to let his people go. But God was the ultimate one that did it. He's the ultimate one that did it. And God's going to be the one that's going to give you victory and me victory in our life, because he's communicating with us. He knows how to get our attention, okay? He cares about us in our life. He calls people to help us in our lives. And then God gives us the ultimate victory that we need in our life. I'm glad that we're on the winning side. You know, we got to go through a lot of battles in life, but the war's already been won, folks. Jesus Christ won the war on Calvary. He conquered death, hell, and the grave for you and I, that we could have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. These people, they had victory, and it was only in the Lord Jesus Christ moving and working in the hearts of them through their leader that God had given them. May God help us to realize that God wants to help us. God wants to help every one of us this week, tomorrow, even today in our lives, if we will allow him to. May the Lord help us as we look at how God approaches his people. God approaches all of us every day in our life. He's approaching us somehow, some way, to help us that our lives may count for him. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for this scripture. Thank you for the word of God that you've given us. Lord, for the examples you've given us through the word, that we might realize, Lord, that you do care. Lord, you do want to communicate with us. Lord, you want to help us. And Lord, you want to meet every need that we have, and you want us to be victorious in our lives. But Lord, help us, Lord, to be like Moses, to be conscious, Lord, of your leading, of your calling, of your speaking to us, God, that we might be able to obey what you want us to do. Lord, I pray for your people tonight, everyone that's here. Lord, you might help each one of us, Lord, to focus upon you. Lord, and realize that we need you every day of our life. We need your leadership in our life. God, just as the children of Israel did. And God, I pray, Lord, you would help us to know the leading in our lives that you're trying to direct us in, the step that you want us to take. God, we know this past week, our youth and many of our adults were in camp. And God, I pray, Lord, that week, what they heard and what you've done in their lives, God, will become real to them. And God, it'll not just be something they heard last week, God, but it'll be something that will change their life and direct them. Lord, as you might have got their attention somehow this week, and God, I pray you would direct them now, Lord, to put feet on that direction and do what you want them to do. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.